This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The philanthropic lab People's Liberty has announced the 2017 winners of its $100,000 Hale Fellowship grants. The grant challenges two individuals to develop and implement a big idea that could have a positive impact on Greater Cincinnati. And joining us to talk about People's Liberty, the Hale Fellowship, and the projects this year's winners are creating are People's Liberty Vice President of Operations Jay Kodesh and the 2017 grant recipients Tracy Broomfield and Tamia Stinson. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tracy, to me, and Jake, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jake, start off, for people who might not be familiar with it, tell us a little bit about People's Liberty and what the goals of the organization are. You've been around for, what, about 3 years now,
yeah,
is it?
We're about halfway through a five-year agenda. So People's Liberty is an outpost of the Hale Foundation, a local family foundation. And the idea, or I guess maybe the genesis for People's Liberty, was to take some of the Hale Foundation's grant-making dollars and allocate them for direct grants to individuals. As our listeners probably know, and as we've talked about before, foundations generally and for the most part grant make directly to 501c3 nonprofits. And what we did in creating this outpost of the foundation was create a vehicle for making grants that are available directly to individuals who can go and implement important change in our community.
Yeah, so and you're offering different grant levels, correct?
Sure, yeah. So, for instance, what to me and Tracy are going to talk about today is kind of our flagship award, which is a $100,000 grant that's a year-long, quit your job, this is what you're going to do for a year, change your life, change the community, a grant that's actually open right now because the fellowship has closed, obviously, but the grant that's open right now is a project grant, which is a six-month, $10,000 grant that we'll award to eight people here in the next couple months. And then we have another offering, which is a $15,000 grant, which comes with a storefront use. So what we did is we tailored three different options for the public, for the citizens of basically inside the 275 Beltway. Give people options. Here's a couple options we think that could inspire you to go and create change, to go act on a dream of yours, to change the landscape of this place. And not only do we give you funding, a place to work down at our headquarters near Findlay Market, but in general, we give you permission to go and do something crazy, to go and make a big change in your life and go and try and change the city.
So. And when you say storefront, you're talking about using the storefront at People's Liberty.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, over by Findlay Market. The way we renovated a building, we left maybe the most important piece of the building, which is our front door, available for a grant that basically changes our storefront three times a year with that $15,000 grant.
Yeah, the Hale Fellowship, what are some of the things that entails?
Sure.
The support that you get through that fellowship?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, to me and Tracy are our fifth and sixth, and we won't say who's number five and number six, but our fifth and sixth Hale Fellows to date, as this is the middle of our third year. We do two a year. And in the past, we've had things as far out as someone designing and developing and building two tiny homes to confront affordable housing inside Greater Cincinnati. We've had folks that have built music sharing platforms to try and inspire local musicians to be able to commercialize their music. And what we do is we give, not in one big check, but over the course of 12 months, we grant $100,000 to these individuals. They can allocate some of those funds as a stipend, essentially as salary to replace whatever job or freelance work they were doing before. We do a lot of what I would call hand-holding, which could take the form of introductions to people that we have connections to, organizations, companies that we work with, who can help further the mission and the objective of what these individuals had outlined in their application. So basically, in addition to funding, we do everything we can to make these folks successful. And however we can help, whether that means getting out of the way or being along for the ride, we're there for sure.
Tracy and Tamia, what was the competition like? I mean, what did you have to go through to reach this point?
I had to do a tap dance.
Okay.
No, It wasn't exactly an audition.
Is she right, Tracy? Do you have to tap dance?
I mostly prayed. but yeah, it was extremely, I think, exciting experience. I mean, and one of the things that I really appreciated about this process was that they did it really quick. They didn't make you wait 6 months to find out if you won. I mean, from the time you apply to the time you find out you're a finalist. And then thankfully, when I found out I had actually been awarded the fellowship, it was a month. I mean, so they do it pretty quickly. I know they're very thorough in their process and they narrow it down, but they don't, I think that was one of the biggest things for me is they mm-hmm. didn't make you wait. You kind of knew all along where they were with the process. And that was comforting, yet still, you know, it was very anxious time.
And the application itself is, I mean, it's, you have to be fairly detailed. So they give you an opportunity to meet with people from the organization so that you can kind of talk it out and see whether your idea is actually something that makes sense to another human being and not just right. inside your head. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can talk it out with people. You go through you can review what you actually have for your application, which, again, is pretty detailed. You talk about who you are and what your idea is. You break down a timeline. You break down a budget. So you actually have to put quite a bit of thought into what you're planning to do, which I think is super helpful.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, if you make it to the next round, they call you back in for an interview. And it's kind of like that first job interview when you were in high school and still trying to figure out what's what and what you should say and what you shouldn't say. But really, the idea is just to talk about who you are and what your idea is and how it would help the city. And then from there, like Tracy said, it was maybe like a week and a half, two yeah. weeks, and they're like, okay, yes or no. Yeah. So they're on it.
Jake, how many people apply?
Yeah, we had over this. In the past, we've had somewhere between 75 and 150. This year, we had right around 75 folks apply. Again, those are people that came out to the info session. We met with over 100 people one-on-one at our space, coaching them through the application process. And some of those folks we encouraged to apply for a different grant opportunity, whether it was with the storefront attached to it or a smaller dollar amount because we uncovered that they couldn't necessarily quit their day job. These two individuals are stopping everything they're doing and focusing on this full time. And some of the folks that were in the application process just couldn't really meet that requirement or that threshold. So part of that play when we're having one-on-ones and helping folks learn about the opportunity is us encouraging them to apply for the right opportunity so that they can be more successful.
How many judges are involved in this?
Yeah, so for this application, we had six people that were on a review panel, and they literally went through with a fine-tooth comb all the applications and made a recommendation back to the foundation as to A, who we should interview, and in their mind, B, who we should award the grant to. And it was our responsibility to follow their instructions and interview all the finalists that they wanted us to interview, ask them very specific and detailed questions, and then make the award.
And so, who were those people?
we have a blog post online where we've released all the information about the jurors. But what I can say for sure is that in general, our juries are people that we select that either represent the business community, essentially the civic community, whether they know about Hamilton County, Greater Cincinnati, or State of Ohio government workings, inner workings, and then folks from the art or public art community. And we've had a really good mix of neighborhoods and socioeconomic backgrounds that we work with in those three categories. And yeah, so if we have any listeners that are passionate and interested in people's liberty and the grant making process, we'd be happy to meet with you and see if you would be a great potential juror, if not an applicant yourself.
And Tamia, you just want to know who the jurors were because you want to know if you're number five or number six.
Oh, yeah. Right? You want to know what number I am.
You want to try to figure that part out.
Am I the first woman to win or the second?
Right.
Yeah, these are our two first female fellows. So we were super excited about that, obviously. Yeah.
Typically, what kind of ideas are you looking for?
Yeah.
If somebody's thinking about doing this, mm-hmm. what would you tell them? What kind of things should they bring to the table?
Sure. Yeah. So in general, we're looking for new and creative disruptive ideas that are going to encourage the citizens of Greater Cincinnati to join, act, or respond to the project. That's going to change this place. We know and understand that 1 year and $100,000, A, it goes quickly, both the money and the time. But B, it's not going to in essence, change the world, but what kind of step can it make towards changing either the problem that the applicant is trying to address, or it's not necessarily a problem or an opportunity. And I think what we have at the table today is one person that sees a very specific problem in Tracy's regard, and Tamia, who sees a very real opportunity. Coincidentally, we got one of each, which is fine, and they're going to take a year of their lives, push pause on everything else, and focus on this. I think we should jump into what they want to do.
Yeah, because I agree. Think they have some great ideas. And since you brought up Tracy, let's start with Tracy. Yeah. What is your idea, Tracy?
Okay. Well, my idea is I currently work at the Center for Addiction Treatment. So I work with individuals who are going through drug treatment. And I think everybody in Cincinnati, if they watch the news or in any way connected, whether personally or just with regards to the community, understand we have an incredible and well-documented epidemic going on with heroin-related overdose fatalities. And it shows no sign of slowing down. So that's with one regard, kind of where my work background is. And then I also volunteer and mentor women in the Hamilton County Justice Center. And I see a lot of women in there who are for drug-related offenses, whether directly or indirectly. Maybe it's a theft because they are trying to support their drug addiction. And so, and I saw a disconnect. When I'm mentoring the women, one of the things I kept hearing over and over was, I'm scared to get out. I'm afraid that, you know, when I get out, I might go back to my old behavior. And so for me, I saw what I thought was a great opportunity to try to help them pre-plan. They're reentering into the community, and how are they going to hit the ground running? How are they going to navigate resources in the community? Do they have a home to go back to? Do they have any job opportunities? Do they need GED? Do they need continuing drug treatment? So I found that there was a disconnect between the people in need and the access to getting what they need. So my idea was to create a publication and to kind of invite the community, including the incarcerated population, to contribute. And then on the flip side, the law enforcement, drug treatment agencies, Ohio Benefit Bank, homeless shelters, for them all to kind of say, hey, we're here. This is how you use our resources. This is how you navigate our system. And to kind of give a platform and a forum for them to, for both communities to kind of come together and create this dialogue. And let's see if we can make a difference, both with the incarcerated population and then at the community at large, you know, create a social media presence. There's a lot of people in our community who have been incarcerated or have caught a charge or are in recovery. So stories of hope, recovery, how to get better. You know, addiction is not curable, but it's treatable.
So your idea, you just want to get the resources into people's hands to help them through this process. Plus, I think timing is important on this, too. It's absolutely not just a matter of getting into their hands, but when you get it.
That's absolutely correct. And that was actually something specific in my application was I said that I believe there's actually a window of time in which to reach somebody. You know, when they're sitting still, you have a captive audience to reach them when they're at their kind of lowest point and they're thinking, now what do I do? I've caught a charge and now what do I do from here? So that might be the time when they're thinking of making a change the most. You know, typically, and it's not until negative consequences come along that someone in active addiction really stops and says, hey, this is a problem and my life is becoming unmanageable. So how can we at that point connect them with the resources they need? And not just recovering addicts or people who have addiction issues, but we see a lot of people untreated mental health. Poverty, chronic homelessness. We see a lot of individuals coming through the system. The Justice Center is one of the top 25 largest jails in the country. So we see quite a bit of our citizens coming in and out of there. And if we can give them something, and this is not just a one-time off resource. This is month to month. Let's keep things fresh and what's going on outside in the community and to have that platform and that dialogue to continue.
One of the most exciting things for the jury and then for us as staff about Tracy's application was it wasn't trying to add another service. It was about mapping what's available and empowering the people in need by exposing them to a pathway and kind of a guide to what service they might need. So we were super excited about that.
Tamia, we want to hear about what you're going to be creating over the next year. What's your project?
So I am a fashion stylist. I have been for a couple years now, and I've noticed that the what they call a community of, imagine me doing air quotes here, image makers, which is the stylists, the photographers, the models, the hairstylists, the makeup artists, that community has grown so much. But because it's grown so much, there's a lot of disconnection. People are not quite sure where to find each other. They're not sure how to connect with each other. I actually have a meeting a little later today with a woman who's fairly new to the area, and she's like, well, how do I get started? How do I get a foot in the door? So I've been noticing this issue, and I thought it would be a great idea to come up with something or several ways to connect people not only to each other but to the resources that are available in the community, and then also to spread the word about what that community of image makers can do, not only locally but nationally. So we'll be doing a series of workshops in person. We'll have a website that teaches people how to connect with each other online and allows them to post information and find each other. We'll also be doing a series of photo shoots, and we're trying to incorporate as much of the community as possible. So this would be not only the image makers, but maybe other people within the community, the entrepreneurs, the nonprofits, the people who would need that type of photography for their website, for their social media presence, for advertising. Connect them to do this series of photo shoots, and then we'll have all these gorgeous photos that we can then share with the community at large, and we can put in a book that we can then share as a product. So we'd be sending this book out to different agencies and schools and designers who also need those services. And by doing that, we're spreading the word about what we can do here in Cincinnati, because we have a lot of super talented people. They've worked with brands like P&G and Cal. These are world-class brands that our people have worked with. And because the cost of living here is so low, there's an opportunity to have these services done for a much more reasonable price than you would find in a New York or a Chicago. So we're looking to kind of spur some economic development among the people in this community, connect them with, again, the greater Cincinnati community at large, and hopefully, you know, bring in some more work for everybody, which, I mean, that's what keeps people here and hopefully eventually brings people here.
And Jake, we've got just a little bit of time left here, about 30 seconds. Tell us about the event. You can actually have a chance to meet Tracy and Tamia.
If you come down to People's Liberty tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening, we're having a Pass the Torch event where the current Hail Fellows are basically passing the torch off to these wonderful humans and wishing them well. So tomorrow evening, information's on our website, peoplesliberty.org, from about 5:30 to 7:30. We'll be there.
And we have a link to the People's Liberty website at wvxu.org. And Tracy, to me and Jake, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For having us.
People's Liberty Vice President of Operations Jake Kodesh and the 2017 Hail Fellowship Grant recipients Tracy Broomfield and Tamia Stinson. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7.